Welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. My name is Chris.
And I'm Matt.
And we are in the heart of our series where Catholic dads react to modern events.
Yeah. And we're Catholic dads trying to grow in holiness, trying to become the best dads God called us to be.
And in doing so, we believe that we can change the world one heart at a time.
What are you doing? That was so cheesy. That's definitely you.
That was meant to be cheesy. Yeah. Here we go. Okay. Hey, guys. There is a lot going on. And Matt and I do record a little bit ahead of time. So hopefully not as much is going on. But there's a high likelihood that even more is going on in regards to world events, especially in regards to conflict. And so we wanted to navigate that and kind of walk through a process of what does a Catholic dad do when faced with a current event or a situation that honestly is hard to navigate. Like, how do we talk to our kids about war? And what does the church say about war? And can we talk to our kids about war if we don't know what the church says about war?
Yeah. And really this, the hope is that by modeling this, this can apply to all different types of current events, all different types of things. Like, how do we find the information we need to be able to talk, you know, moderately equipped, not perfectly equipped, because we're never going to be perfectly equipped to talk about these things, but equipped enough to where we're not afraid to talk about it. And honestly, the fact that you're watching this show or listening to this podcast, you're doing that. You know, you're getting some of the knowledge, some of the information that you need to be able to do some of this stuff. And honestly, like what we're going to model through this, like when you search, you may actually find one of our videos. Like that's the hope, you know, that's what we're trying to do is equip dads to be the dads God has called them to be. And yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah. So first,
you may end up in an endless loop is what I'm saying.
Endless loop. But the first question is, why does this matter?
Yeah.
And the reason why it matters is twofold. One, stewarding fatherhood is so important. But the second one is actually, I think, the more beautiful reason. Like our kids, like my child smashed a plastic toy, like beyond belief, right? And then they picked it up and they looked like they were about to cry. And then they were like, it's okay. My dad can fix this.
Mm.
Now, if you've ever dealt with broken plastic, it's done. Like it's just done. There's no fixing it. But my daughter believed that I would be able to fix it and everything would be okay. And so our children look to us and what we say and how we say it, they see that as gospel,
yep.
Right? Whatever dad says is 100% the truth. And again, that starts to fade as they enter into adolescence and grow through that. But at least those that are kind of in that sweet spot of age 7 to about age 11, they think everything we say is the same as coming out of the mouth of God himself, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and so to say nothing wouldn't be okay.
Yeah.
But to say the wrong thing also would be to lock in. It's like that movie Inside Out. It's a core memory, you know? And so
lock in a wrong core memory.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So how do we navigate this, Matt?
Okay. So we see stuff going on in the world, right? And whatever it is, in this case, we're going to use the war in Ukraine as an example. So we hear about things going on in the Ukraine and over there with Russia and different things like that. And we know that there's a war going on. So my first thought is, like, as a Catholic dad, you know, what should I be saying to my kids about this? How much should my kids know about what's happening? And what does the church teach about this? So, like, as far as what I would do is the first thing I would Google, you know, is Catholic teaching war. You know, what does the church teach about war? And so I'm just going to go ahead and do that right now. Chris, have you already done that?
No, I was waiting to go in blind with you.
Oh, nice. So then like the first thing that pops up is some sort of BBC article or whatever, but you can find this. Eventually I see, oh, wait, there's something called just war doctrine. What does that mean? And so then maybe I adjust my search, you know, and I change it to Catholic, you know, just war theory or whatever. And then I am able to find just war doctrine, you know, on different websites, stuff like that. USCCB even has something, stuff like that. So I start to learn a little bit about what the just war theory is, stuff like that. And eventually what I'll find is that there are several different prerequisites before a war can be considered just.
Right. In regards to the principle of it, right, the principle of the just war, principle of just cause, proportionality, discrimination, all these different pieces. And what that allows us to do as dads is approach it first at a higher level.
Yep.
Right. So instead of talking about this specific situation, we're able to talk about this is a teaching moment of how conflict is to be approached whatsoever. And then we can filter that into an age-appropriate lens, right? Yep. And so we know as people the difference between right and wrong. Taking something that's not yours, is that right or wrong, right? Well, that's wrong. If someone tries to take something that's not yours, can you try and hold on to it so they don't take it from you? Is it okay for you not to allow someone to steal something from you? Well, yes, it's okay for me to not let someone steal it from you. Okay, well, what happens when that thing becomes land or resources? And maybe then we start applying it to what's happening between the Ukraine and Russia, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And then we could get even more complicated and say, but what about in the year 1600 when that land was actually shared by both you and Russia by people named Vladimir? And both presidents of both Ukraine and Russia are named Vladimir. How do we navigate that, child? And then they start crying themselves to sleep as I have. But maybe stick to the higher level principles as we discuss and navigate kind of what's happening right now by teaching the higher principle, because I don't know if even I understand. I don't know if anyone really understands the totality of that conflict, but some of the basic principles of like they're entering into someone else's land and trying to take it from them. And that feels wrong. Something about that feels wrong. And so what are we allowed to do according to the church teaching to protect our land, to have a nation that has sovereignty or protect its borders and things like that. And again, that whole scaled all the way up. I use the word sovereignty. So now you're talking about talking to a 14-year-old child as opposed to like a 7-year-old child, right?
Yeah. You know, and there's, I don't know what you found as far as websites and stuff like that, different, you know, things that you need to look into for this. But, you know, some of the stuff that I found, you know, like there's six different questions or whatever to ask. You know, were the claims against our enemies just or exaggerated or fabricated? Was the governing intention to correct an injustice, or were there mixed motives? Were reasonable non-military alternatives exhausted? Did the proper authorities authorize the conflict? Yada, yada, yada. And so
right.
Just on a cursory look without any real deep theological dive, I can say that as far as from Russia's perspective, it was not a just war. For them to do what they've done, it was not just. However, Ukraine, it is just for them to defend themselves,
yes.
Right? For them to go yep. into battle in response to that, it is just. And so a lot of it, like, it sounds weird to see from different perspectives, but maybe that just makes complete sense. But the initial act of waging war, a lot of these requirements, it's hard to meet these requirements, really, from the Catholic perspective. And so knowing that and understanding that, as Americans, I think it's sometimes hard because the predominant, like maybe not now, but in the past, the predominant culture has been bomb them, bomb them, bomb them. like just this immediate like revenge response. Or immediate, you know, are you tracking what I'm saying?
Well, I hear what you're saying. I don't necessarily agree with it being revenge motivated.
Sure.
I think that, have you ever heard the term fighting fire with fire?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. And so what happens is when a fire breaks out, they actually start a fire midway into the forest and start burning in that direction so that it consumes all the fuel, right? And what you're doing is you're actually creating destruction in order to save the rest of the forest. So a controlled fire burning towards a fire ultimately eats up the resources that the spreading fire could consume. And that's what meant is fighting fire with fire. A lot of people would make the argument, right? And I'm not saying a lot of Catholics or just war theory, but a lot of people in society would make the argument that the bomb them, bomb them, bomb them piece might actually be a better approach. And I have seen a couple of bombings that we've done recently as a government entity to where we let the nation know you did this, we have to do a response. So I would highly recommend that you empty out this missile silo because in 12 hours, we're going to bomb it. And we've had bloodless responses, which I don't know if it exactly fits into the just war theory, but in regards to kind of a moral approach of bomb them, bomb them, bomb them, I feel like that's more moral than, hey, you see that orphanage? Let's drop one there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So this is,
again, not a conversation for the kids right here. We're we're diving into kind of dad's thing, but we're wrestling with this reality because they might be at school and hearing, my dad just thinks we should just nuke Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, my dad knows people from Russia that are Catholic, and he's not the biggest fan of that idea because they have names.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And not all Russians are behind this, you know, and that's the, like, yeah. And so that's just a kind of an example of looking at this. And there's a whole lot more, like, as the more you learn, and this is the tough thing about, the internet, you know, is you will find people obviously taking one side versus the other, and they disagree with each other. And finding reliable sources.
Even on church teaching. Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah.
You know, finding reliable sources. And the tough thing, like, that I find is, and this goes, like, to continue our previous conversation, is what, and I may not say what's best for America because that's not the right way to say it. But what the prevailing culture in the United States decides what is right to do does not mean it's going to line up with church teaching. Correct. And so church teaching may actually be contrary to what is, well, and often is contrary to what American culture or the American psyche or whatever will want to do. And even what the American culture may think is what is best for the country, it may be against church teaching. And then you run, like, this is where being countercultural is really hard, because in being Catholic is hard, and it should be hard. Every aspect of our life, you know, being Christian, being Catholic is going to be hard, in one way or another at some one time or another. And wrestling with that and not trying to say that. And this is where, yeah, if it's right for America, it must be right for the church. You know, that's not necessarily true. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, maybe I'm not saying it right, but.
Sir, you're certainly not saying it concisely. So, yeah, so there are tensions, and the plurality of approaches and the plurality of ideas, usually what our kids are exposed to is a variety of positions that wouldn't align with church teaching, and maybe one or two positions that may or may have some sort of overlap with church teaching. And so we are called as fathers to embrace that role of primary formators, specifically in regards to faith and morals, right? If someone else wants to teach your kid math, God's not going to get offended by that or anything like that. But if someone teaches them something wrong about their human sexuality, that could change your family tree. Right. And so we have to be intentional in the things that matter, that are exclusively a parent led endeavor. But the other piece to consider, so we've talked about the formative side, and it's hard to find and navigate that piece. And I think that's where having a community of other Catholic dads to be like, how are you talking to your kids about this? The incorrect answer is I'm not talking to my kids about this, because the reality is your kids are going to hear about it. And what's going to happen for the younger kids is they're going to feel insecure or unsafe if they haven't had a conversation with mom or dad, specifically with dad, who's considered the protector and the provider regarding that. And so what is that conversation? On some level, it's to let them know that you're safe and that we're praying, like we are doing something for this. On another level, especially for the older children, to be able to say, this is what the church teaches. We're going to use this as a teaching moment to talk about different principles on war. And this is where we kind of side for those that we're praying for and things like that. We're actually rooting for peace. We're not rooting for one side to win or another side to win. We're actually rooting for peace to happen so that both, because I don't want to see Russia end up like Germany post-World War II. Where they economically suffered and people were an entire nation was impoverished, right? I definitely don't want to see them rewarded for their actions, but there is something about they are still human and the dignity of them as human people, even though in this case they're on the wrong side of the conflict, we still need to recognize and honor that. And that's a little bit more convoluted because, boy, Marvel movies sure make it easy on this is the bad guy and this is the good guy. And you root for the good guy, but also in our society, we've gotten very comfortable rooting against the bad guy as well. And that creates some tension because that's where the bomb 'em comes into play.
Yeah. So I was like in continuing to search or whatever, looking through, trying to find the right spot in the catechism where it mentions this. I think it's 2307 or 2308 where it's mentioned. It's taking me forever to use the Vatican website to get there because I couldn't just search the main page.
But boy, does it look good with that yellowish khaki backdrop.
It's awful. this section's called Avoiding War. And we don't necessarily need to read it, but 2307, 08, 09. And there's a page on the USCCB website that also talks about all these different sections.
So like even praying for this, you have to be intentional about. So we as a team prayed a litany for peace in time of war. And in one of the pieces in there, it was, and for the souls of all those that get buried in unblessed graves. Mm. And I was like, wow, that was profound. That was beautiful. That was not 9-year-old appropriate. Like the idea that there's going to be bodies, that there's not going to be time to do things with them. Like that's exactly what that intention was praying for in a very classy way. But for a child to have that concept put into their mind at like age 9, if you listen to our last episode on the Catholic Dad's a Genius series, that did not work out well for me when I tried to teach my daughter about the Holocaust at age 9. And so we want to make sure that we're allowing them to engage in this. So Matt, for me and my family, and I'd love to hear what you and your family are doing. For me and my family, we've prayed the Chaplet of Divine Mercy together a few times because it says, have mercy on us and on the whole world. And there's something about world peace that we're really kind of striving for and begging God for right now. But the other thing that we do is at mealtime prayers, we say the bless us, O Lord. And then we say one more prayer. And now we say, Jesus, I trust in you 3 times, that we are trusting in the providence of the Prince of Peace to bring peace to that situation. And we've made the commitment to do that until the war ends, which someone the other day said that they assumed that this conflict could last up to 10 years. So that's a lot of Jesus, I trust in you coming from the Bartlett dinner table every night, you know?
Wow. I like that. We haven't done anything as formal as that. We've like every time our family has gotten together for prayer, which is daily, you know, and then especially on Ash Wednesday, we offered up more prayers on those days, but I hadn't thought about adding anything specific like you guys did. Yeah, but I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. And it's something simple, but it makes them feel involved, invested, and almost in the loop in a way that trusts in God.
Yeah. Yeah. One, are you now watching a YouTube video on it?
No, I pulled up a site on how to talk to your children about war. Cause I think that's the other side, the pastoral response, not just the formative response, but the pastoral response. How do you talk to your children about war? And some news anchor started barking at me. I apologize. Sorry.
So one of the ways that like Catholic dads can respond to stuff like this is knowing the catechism. Now that may be way too much, you know, but also knowing where to look. Because even for me, I just did a couple of Google searches. I didn't know where it was in the catechism. And I didn't even know there was something in the catechism about war. And so I just Googled it, found like a place on the USCCB website that, and just so you know, that's the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And then I found a couple of paragraphs where it mentioned the catechism in there. And then I looked for those paragraphs in the catechism and it's fairly straightforward, you know, and that's a good way for us to learn more about what the church teaches because the church has teachings on everything. And even if they aren't explicitly said in church teaching, there are Catholic theologians who put out stuff consistently. And you find a good Orthodox, you know, priest that has good responses to stuff like that, follow them. And they will have responses to stuff like this every time it happens.
Yeah. And even not just, as you say, a good Orthodox priest, I would actually encourage you to email your pastor in regards to navigating this as well. And I know that this sounds weird because so often I think our approach to our priests are that we don't want to burden our pastor who's already busy and overwhelmed. But honestly, I see pastors come to life when they're engaged in things that really matter.
Yeah.
Right. So, hey, Father, I'm trying to navigate this war and being a father. How do I talk to my kids about this? And like I said, you can Google it and listen to the lady in a white dress kind of bark at you while you pop up that screen or whatever. And it talks about like, don't avoid the conversation, monitor what information is coming in. Some images are going to be really scary and unsettling, but to talk to your pastor and even give them feedback. Hey, when you mentioned the intention at Mass, like my kids knew that we as a church now were praying for peace. And that was really encouraging. When you said to end the bloodshed, that really scared my 5-year-old, so maybe we could choose some language that's more inclusive, whatever, but just to have that loop of feedback and dialogue with your pastor, I think is so important. On to the catechism, like the catechism is literally written at an 8th grade reading level. Now, I'm not suggesting that you need to ask your 8th grader to read it cover to cover, but I am saying that it should be accessible to us to be able to kind of consume it and translate it for our children to be helpful for that. Now, if you go into some of the footnotes, then you get into like the doctorate in theology type of stuff. It has a lot of footnotes and references, so you can literally dig deep into the catechism because of the way it references itself and references other doctors of the church and things like that. But I love how concise it is, and it talks about everything. I have a catechism that I have used in youth ministry for years, and the section on confirmation, those pages are nearly falling out, as are the sections on human sexuality, mm-hmm. right? So I've referred to the catechism because it says it better than I was able to in many times, just very clear and straightforward, but also with charity.
You know, and to make a little pivot or turn in this conversation, I think that thinking about this conversation, it made me think, okay, well, that's happening out there, at least from the perspective of most families in the United States. And some people it's impacting more directly, and even some Americans it's impacting more directly. My brother-in-law is being sent, overseas. He's wow. going, and so there are plenty of families who have loved ones who are going to be much more directly impacted. But I was also thinking about, so for my kids, how does this impact their life? And I think the translation that I was thinking of is like, so my kids sometimes go to war themselves. And I think about fights, like fighting, when they fight their friends or when they fight their siblings. How does this translate to them? And I think that there's a lot that you can apply from just war theory to that. And it'd just be interesting to see us look at that and talk about how does that apply to my 7-year-old who hit his sister back when she hit him.
Sure.
Or to my 17-year-old who sees violence going on, what is he supposed to do?
But in the media that we consume and engage in, right? Because Call of Duty or Fortnite, like those games are so much fun and so engaging, right? But the premise is so bad.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think that, certainly not Fortnite. Let's just fly a bunch of people in and give them guns. Nothing in the game says that you have to shoot each other. Like you could literally all end together and time could run, whatever. It doesn't matter. It just, there's
everybody there's, gets first. Has anybody ever done that just to see? Like, I don't think it would ever happen.
I'm sure it's happened once or twice, but it's a hot mess in regards to, but I think our kids know there's a difference between the media that they're, playing on a video game, especially the older teens, and what's actually going on.
So some of the language here, like you're saying, 8th grade and up, they could probably read this language and translate it almost exactly into their life. So I'm looking at paragraph 2309 in the catechism. It says, these are the strict conditions for a legitimate defense. The damage inflicted by the aggressor on the nation or community of nations must be lasting, grave, or certain. So if you're going to defend yourself using force, the damage done to you needs to be something that is lasting, grave, and certain.
And certain. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Lasting, grave, and certain. So it actually has all three as requirements. Yeah. And so that's like, if my sister is going to hit me and it's certain that she is going to hit me, you know, like, and it's going to be lasting, like the impact or whatever, and grave,
like,
and
like she's strong enough to hurt you.
Yes. You know,
yes.
Then, you know, all of everything else needs to fall into place. Okay. So that's one requirement. The other one is all other means to putting this conflict to an end must have been shown to be impractical or ineffective.
Correct.
You know, which in my son's case is potentially calling mom and dad, you know, running away.
Right.
Reasoning, apologizing, whatever, you know, all kinds of different things that my son can do. Then the next one is there must be serious prospects of success. So my aggression or like in response to this, it must have a chance of success. So if I start off like, anyway, so that's, I just think about that same scenario, me hitting my sister back, probably not going to be all that successful. The use of arms, you know, must not produce evils or disorders graver than the evil to be eliminated.
Being inflicted.
You know, so if my sister's going to punch me on the shoulder, but I punch her in the face instead, that's not an appropriate response. I'm defending myself by causing more damage than what would have been caused. Does that make sense?
Right, right.
You know, so I think, so eighth grader and up could probably read this and understand it in a different context than what a seven-year-old could understand it at.
Correct.
But I think it does give, like, we can teach our kids these principles without necessarily using the term just war theory. The principle is, hey, you know, did you hit her harder than she hit you? Like,
I'm just imagining me walking in to my home and be like, hey, kids, let's talk about the just war theory. And then my son is like, nerd, and starts hitting me. It's like, I just got bullied by my seven-year-old, you know? So yeah, but if I say, hey, let's talk about this situation.
How we respond to violent situations. Yeah. Like, right. This is a violent situation. How should you respond?
Right.
You know, and we need to be able to teach our kids those things. They need to learn this stuff at a young age. So that as they get older, and then even I think about my 17-year-old, you know, when he's walking through, I don't know, downtown Bryan, you know, and sees someone being attacked. You know, and he needs to be able to assess that situation and say, okay, you know, what is my role here? You know, do I have a role to play here? And is it, you know, does that make sense? That's probably a little more escalated.
The only thing that didn't make sense was when you said when, not if. So it's like, assume that when you walk through downtown Bryan, you're going to see someone get attacked. I'm like, Bryan's not.
The same kind of thing happened in my front yard. I don't know if I've shared this story before on any of our podcasts, but I was sitting in the house and I heard either screeching brakes or I heard yelling. And I went out front and a woman was getting out of a car at our stop sign kind of quickly, like she was running away. The guy put the car in park and chased after her and grabbed her. And I was on the front porch, and all I had to do in that moment was just yell, like, I'm not going to do it on here, but like in my dad voice, hey, like a nice strong dad voice. And he took his hands immediately off her.
Good.
And then he started saying like excuses for why he was doing what he was doing. And I said, I basically said, it doesn't matter what she did. You do not touch her. And so this was one of those examples. Like, if I look at the just war theory, you know, all other means of putting this conflict to an end, that was That was a healthy mean of putting the conflict to an end.
Right.
You know, am I teaching my kids that versus to immediately run off the front porch, tackle the guy and start pummeling him?
You know? Right. But in that situation, just to go there, it gets a gray area, right?
Yeah.
Because then all of a sudden he starts, let's say, striking this woman because hey didn't work.
Yeah.
Do you go inside and say, let's go ahead and you sign on this side of the sheet and you sign on this side of the sheet and we'll all write something down, and you come out and it's escalated and escalated and escalated. At that moment, jumping in between or removing the aggressor, right? And then the woman runs away.
Yeah.
And that's different than beating the aggressor.
For sure.
Right? So disarming. So there's a lot of things. But in the moment, it's like, okay, maybe next time you could have handled it better. But in the instant, you had to respond quickly.
Yeah.
And so I think that there is some mercy that happens in that moment.
Yeah.
So Wow. Okay. So we kind of covered the whole gambit of different things surrounding war, and even how it can apply to conflict in our own lives or our own children's lives and helping them navigate that. The takeaway that I want you to have, dads, is two pieces. One, to go ahead and research a little bit about just war theory, or even how to talk to your kids about this at an age appropriate level. Because if you haven't yet, you should. Why? Well, because it's just an opportunity, if nothing else, to share God's love. And the beauty of God's love is shown not just in scripture, not just in the way that he shows mercy and sacramental life, but also in the teachings and the truth. Our God is a God of order. And so the teachings are ordered and clearly catechism is a great place to look at. The second piece is to pray. And even if you have younger kids to where it's like, I don't want to do that, you can pray starting using different titles of Jesus. One of my favorite titles right now is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Jesus, Prince of Peace, we ask that you are made present in this world in a more profound way. Right? That's it.
Amen.
And now your family has just prayed for peace and prayed for that conflict without having to let your four-year-old fall asleep knowing that there's a war going on. What's a war, Daddy? No. Let's go back to Peppa Pig and read the story. And that's fine. That's absolutely appropriate. But to do nothing is a missed opportunity, because we are called to be agents of change in the world. And we can help in that conflict through prayer. We can storm heaven together. And why not engage your children in the beauty of that calling?
Yeah. And I don't know if people are ending this episode thinking, well, why didn't you tell me exactly what to say? And in my opinion, that's not the purpose of this podcast. Like, that's not the purpose of this show, to give all of the right theological answers. There are many other, much more well-formed theologians out there that can give you that. Our goal with this show is to inspire dads to start the conversation and give them like the how-to, really, to do it, you know, without necessarily right. giving all the perfect answers.
Well, and the other piece is because I don't know your children like you do.
Amen.
Right? And yep. So sometimes bringing this up in a certain way could create a sense of insecurity. And now we're getting emails from you saying, hey, after I watched your episode, my kids started wetting the bed because they were terrified. It's like, time out. You fatherhood in the way that God is calling you to fatherhood, right? Yep. Execute that gift of fatherhood. And there's times where my 12-year-old can handle things a little bit heavier than my 14-year-old, depending on what the thing is, because they're each unique individuals.
Yep.
And so love your kids radically, love them uniquely, and love them as a Catholic father. You guys, if you want to continue to join this conversation and kind of wrestle with these things, we have an amazing community. It's called The Village, and it's one of the apostolates we have over at Ablaze Ministries. Matt, if they wanted to join The Village, it's an online community that discusses these things that has a Catholic dad section specifically. How would they do that?
Just hop on the URL. It's ablaze.us/thevillage.
Excellent. You guys, hey, thanks for joining us today. Let's keep praying for peace and a swift resolution. Any other closing thoughts, Mr. Matt?
Make sure to subscribe. And if you want to get this in podcast format, it's out there that way as well.
Awesome. We love journeying with you. We love being Catholic dads. We hope you do too. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
God bless.